Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. There are times in a man's life when he feels like changing his profession. For an announcer, this can be a bit tricky, as the only alternative method of using one's talent for talking good seems to be from behind a barrow, shouting, "Lovely ripe tomatoes!" But the pay is better, but the barrow's so flaming heavy to shove around, you know. But CPO Pertwee, however, is all set to find another profession for his talent.
Abel Seaman Johnson wants to make it clear that if Abel Seaman Johnson can't afford a beer, then Abel Seaman Johnson wants a rise in pay, or Abel Seaman Johnson's going to run away. Abel Seaman Johnson wants
to make... Well, quite enough tonsil tickling out of you for one day, my son.
You think so? My mum in Rexall got a lovely voice, you know. When I was at home, I used to sing in me bath.
Well, I don't believe that for a start. Nothing your size can get into a bath, let alone singing it.
Oh, I can, you know. If you're getting out afterwards, it's a problem.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But you always thought you ought to make baths with a little gore in this height, so the plumber can get the crowbar under you and prise you out.
No, thank you. Not unless he warms the end of it first.
Yeah, all right, that is. What's all this about Abel Seaman Johnson wanting more pay?
Well, I'm not happy. Every week, Fatso's finances get worse.
Well, that settles it then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Johnson, I reckon the time has come for us two to venture forth into the outside world and earn ourselves a few thousand bob or two.
Well, I wouldn't say no to that.
If it was your mentioning your mum in that put the idea in me bonds.
Oh, was it? Well, you can put it out again. She's skint and all.
I don't want to borrow anything from her. So all I want to know is this. Has your mum in still got the rum grunnet farm?
Yeah, of course she has. But if you're thinking there's any money in home-grown rum grunnets these days, you're out of date. People just aren't buying them, you know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Your mum in want the home market with them last year. Umgrummet wine, umgrummet soup, umgrummet chocolate. You overdid the old umgrummet thing.
Here, I've still got some bars of umgrummet chocolate. Would you like a bit?
No, not likely.
Oh, it tastes jolly good, you know.
I'm not saying it don't. What you might call the after effects I'm not mad about. Yeah, two bits of that and I was burping immoderate for a week.
I remember that. Oyster Shannon's over your parsnip, lad. Here comes Burpee Burpee.
All right. The point is this, Johnson.
Yeah.
What your mum in has overlooked is the export market, eh? Yes, she ought to be exporting crates and crates of umgrummets all over the world.
You don't send umgrummets in crates, you send them in little sacks. And in any case, you don't send them in the first place, because they don't travel well. Umgrummets don't.
No,
you go on a long train journey with umgrummet, you'll end up with a carriage yourself.
Yeah, well, Johnson, what I'm
saying. Yeah, and you're welcome to it, too. Of course. Talk a big pong, you can't. You were saying?
Well, I was about to say, Johnson, that I've made certain arrangements, you see, to ship vast quantities of your mumbin's umgrummet to America.
Well, I've told you before, umgrummets don't travel, and you're not getting me on any inelegant ponging boat. If they go, they go on their own.
They're not going to pong inelegant. They're going to be prude.
Pardon?
Prude. You know, refrigerant me city before. You know. Here. I've chartered a specially prepared vessel, you see?
Yeah.
Which may well turn out to be the first of the Pertwee Johnson fleet of cruised umgrummet ships.
Who from?
Uncle Ebenezer, if you must know.
No.
We're using Nunky's tub with a refrigeration plant out of Archie's ice cream van stuck on the deck.
That's going to be a pretty sight going past the Statue of Liberty, isn't it?
Well, never mind what the tub's going to look like. Now, look, how soon can your mum men get the first load of umgrummets onto Nunky's tub?
Well, depends how far Nunky is from my mum men's farm. And if he's more than 10 miles away, there isn't a lorry driver in the country who'd take the risk. They don't travel, you see.
No, it's a pity,
but once an umgrummet makes up his mind, you don't want to go, you can't force it.
Yeah. Well, I get the point.
No, you don't. You get the pong. And it's a rotten pong and all. Well, it's more of a rotting pong, actually. There's no mistaking it. Once you've copped a hooter full of travelling umgrummet, you'll never forget it.
Have you finished?
Yes, I think so, sir, yes. I was just trying to point out they don't...
I know they flaming well don't. But my boot will in a minute, it'll land right where your plumber gives you an alley-oop with his crowbar.
That's no way to talk to a fellow director of the company, you know.
It is when a fellow director won't rap out. Now, look here. If I get Nunky's tug near to your mum means, Tom, When could she have the first load ready for you?
Well, if my fellow director can lend me the money, I could give her a ting-a-ling on the blower right now, and she could pick some ready for tomorrow.
Right, that's organised then.
No, it is now about the money for the blower.
Reverse the charges, put it down to expenses, and remind me to query it at the next director's meeting. Good morning.
Judy, have a look out of the window. I've already seen them. I wonder what the heavenly twins are arguing about this time.
Oh, the same thing, I imagine. Mr. Phillips is explaining to number one that he wasn't really coming in here to see us. He was just taking the air.
And number one is explaining to Mr. Phillips that he had no intention of coming in here to see us. He was just looking around.
Then after another 10 minutes of, are you sure you weren't going in to see the girls?
They'll both end up in here glaring at each other.
And trying to make a date with either of them.
Or both of us. You know, I think it's time we taught Mutt and Jeff a bit of a lesson.
Agreed, but how?
Well, neither of the two of us in this office makes it easy for them. Neither of them seems to mind which of us he takes out so long as one of us is available.
Oh, fair's fair. I don't mind which one I go out with either.
Well, to be honest, neither do I. But that has nothing to do with it. It's the principle of the thing.
What is?
Well, I'm not sure. Got myself a bit confused. Anyway, I suggest we frighten the lives out of them. A little feminine chatter about wedding bells should do that very nicely.
Well, steady on, we don't want to frighten them off altogether. I mean, you know what men are like. At the sound of a ding-dong, they vanish.
Yes, well, fortunately, these two are in the service, so they can't get away unless they apply for another draft.
Well, they might even do that,
but they can't. They'd have to apply through this office, and we can lose their applications quicker than they can put them in. We've got them. Just a minute. I think the meeting of the Mutual Distrust Society is breaking up. Stand by to receive prospective husbands.
Right.
Well, what if I was coming in? You were as well.
Now, don't try and wriggle out of it, sir.
I am not wriggling. Good morning, girls.
Good,
Oh, yes, you were.
Morning.
What? Oh, good morning, yes.
Good,
I was not wriggling.
Morning.
Good morning.
Who was it who said you were just taking the air?
Ah, yes, and who was it who said he was just looking around, eh? Answer that, if you can, sir.
I have absolutely no intention of answering that or anything else.
And I know why. I know why you can't answer it. Sir. That's a nasty cough. You ought to do something for it. Oh. Good morning, girls.
I knew we'd get noticed eventually. I hope they'll be a bit more attentive when they're all on our honeymoon.
Oh, of course we shall. That'll be complete. On our what?
Well, Judy and I have been having a little chat about things. We thought it was about time we both put you out of your misery and named the day.
What?
Of course, it takes 3 weeks for the bands to be read, then there's a catering to be arranged, so the sooner we sort out the details, the better.
Oh, now, just a
minute. I've spoken to my parents. Yes, and I've spoken to mine, and they're delighted, of course.
So am I.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, sir.
Could I have a little word with you outside for a minute?
With a pleasure, sir.
No, don't go running off. You know how terribly busy you both are. So if we can just agree on the date, then you can leave all the arrangements to us.
Oh, can we really? Jolly nice of you, don't you, Do you think it's jolly nice of him, Mr. Phillips? Phillips! Leg! Peek-a-boo!
I don't. I can't. I'm not. I'm who said... I where's the exit? I demand a recount. Can I? Will... I don't think I feel very well.
No, doesn't. We must get him into Captain Povey's office at once. He must lie down immediately. No, careful with him now. Into the valley of... into Captain Povey's office.
A case of severe shock if I ever saw one. We should have told him before.
You shouldn't have told me at all.
Quiet. We've got to watch him. This could be very serious. Now, easy now. Take his other arm, one of you.
Which one?
Well, whichever of you is intending to marry him, I suppose.
Yes, that's the point. Which one of you is it?
Either of us, does it matter?
In with him.
What the blue trickling places is going on?
Sorry to barge in, sir. Mr. Phillips had a bit of a shock. All right, girls, I can manage him now.
Oh, right. Oh, Captain Burby, would it be all right if I popped out at lunchtime and got one or two things from my bottom drawer?
What? Oh, well, yes, I suppose so.
Well, I don't like to bother you, but Dagenham and Kildersleeve are having a sale of sheer nylon negligees, and it seems such a pity to miss them. They say you can see right through them.
Yes. All right. Fair lays the lurid details.
What is going on?
But we're not quite sure, sir.
Whatever it was, we wish it wasn't.
But the girls seem to think they'd like to get married, sir.
And not only that, sir. They think they'd like to get married to us, sir.
So we wondered if...
Finally, chance.
A Troutbridge might be needed...
For a long, long voyage.
At a far distant land.
Or further.
Immediately.
Sir.
Gee.
Oh, so that's it.
What a shame. Shame? What's a shame?
Well, it's just one of those things, gentlemen. There's absolutely no reason why Troutbridge should put to sea at the moment. My deepest apologies. Oh, and my heartiest congratulations as well, of course.
It's a carve-up.
Yeah, you could be right.
Oh, it's a great institution, marriage, gentlemen. As one who has been in that happy state.
Oh, you've been in the state, all right.
What is that?
He said it must have been great, sir.
Oh, yes, did he? Hmm. Well, he's right, of course. I'm sure you'll enjoy every minute of it.
Yes, I'm sure we will.
I should hate any naval duties to turn up that might put the wedding day off.
Well, we're rather hoping something might, actually. I mean, just because you're in the muck doesn't mean we all have to be, does it, sir?
We were looking for you to get us out of this, sir.
Were you really?
Yes. See how sad.
Oh, now, look, sir, couldn't we go out on patrol or anti-sub exercise or something?
Sorry?
I'm quite sure, sir.
Positive?
Lummy, we're cooked. Leslie's no longer going to be a spinster of this parish.
Neither is Stephen.
Yeah, well, cheer up, the first 50 years are the worst. Hello?
A real Edward Andy car, Bogey. Yes, yes. That's who it is, all right. Yes, yes. Yeah.
What? Oh, good grief. I mean Captain Poby here, sir.
Ah, send it. Shut the door. Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. Let's take it. Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. 20 touch it off. Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely fast. Yes, yeah, brother. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yes?
Who said that?
I did, sir. Captain Poby.
Oh. Well, that's the thing. I was just going to ring you. Tell it. Charge the key.
Key? Oh, what key?
Yes, yes, that's the idea. Yes. Mumble the word. Yes. I rely on the old man. Yes, yes. Yes. Must stop the panic somehow. What?
Well, I...
Good man. Good man. You'd agree. Yes, yes. Keep calm at all costs. Yes. Yes, leave it to you. And let me know immediately.
You know, certainly, sir. I'll do that the moment I... But just a minute, sir.
Wait. You might miss the essential.
Yeah, well, I've missed everyone up to now, sir. But I don't know what to...
Patience, Cody. Patience. Yes. Patience. Nothing to be gained by rushing things at this stage. No. No.
No?
Patience. No. Now then, about these reports. The first one said it was an iceberg.
Fishermen? What fishermen?
The ones that saw it, of course. They reckon now that it's a flying
saucer. A flying saucer?
Yes. In mid-Atlantic, of all cases. Nonsense, of course. But they swear they could see him.
See? You see who, sir?
Why, this little blue man, of course. Rushing about on top of it. Beating his arms, they said he was. Yes, yes, yes. As they said, a little blue man.
I think I'm going potty.
Hold on, Poby. Hold on. No need to panic at this stage. Action. That's what we need. Action. Now. We must have a full report. Yes, yes. That's what we need, a full report. Now, get a stick up there to have a closer look at that, you might say. Yes, yes. That's what we need. Now, then, tell you what one of the
me, sir? Well, there's the frigate outbreak, sir, but if they see little blue men running about on top of icebergs... Or flying saucers, they'll most probably
say. I don't blame them. Now then, you better send them anyway. Over to you, Poby. Yes, yes, yes. Goodbye.
No, wait, sir. Hello. I didn't understand a word of that.
Neither did we, sir, but I liked the bit when you said you were going potty.
Mr. Phillips.
Sir? If you're smart, you'll go back to going, again.
Yes, but he hasn't got time. You must stand by to put the sea at once.
Oh, really? Well, then, what a shame. The girls will be up.
Well, never mind about them. You've got to track down a flying saucer.
What is the matter with him?
I think I'd rather get married instead.
Well, unfortunately, you haven't got the time.
Now, get aboard, Troutbridge. Put to sea, and I'll radio to you two where to start the search.
Chief?
Yep.
If there are no moon men that way, left hand down a bit.
Not a moon man in sight, so left hand down a bit it is, sir.
I can't say I'm all that disappointed that we haven't found this object, whatever it is, but old Thundergod isn't going to be too pleased. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just as pleased he did send us. At least we got away from the girls for a bit.
I don't think that's going to help. I have a feeling the campaign will be checked up as soon as we dock.
Lummy, yes. I wonder if we could get old Thundergut to arrange for us to be refueled at sea. If we kept doing that, we could keep away from the girls until they found somebody else to go walkies down the aisle with.
Yeah, you're not serious, sir, eh? Now, you can't be. I mean, Pertwee can't see a flute on the brainy for the rest of his pub.
Can't you, Chief? Can't you? I thought going to sea was a possible risk one undertook when one joined the Navy.
Yes, but not minutely, sir. I've got certain little business arrangements to attend to.
You're working on one of your fiddles?
Yeah, no. Oh, sir, what an unkind thing to say, sir. Here am I, sir, an honest sailor lad, risking his life and limb for the rollicking lordship. Me, an humble matelot, sent out to fight and destroy a visitor from the outer end without a thought for his own safety. And all that he had fled.
Yes, well, of course, that proves it. Proves what? Whenever we get this about serving the flag, try Harry for England and St. George, four square for the Empire, and so on, it's a dead cert. Pertwee's up to something.
Yes, usually the more patriotic the speech, the bigger the fiddle.
Permission to apply for an draft to another ship, sir?
No, Chief. With due respect, sir,
after all the suspicions that have been bandied about willy-nilly on this bridge, I don't see how we can continue to work in an unanimous manner. As if it's those chosen few who are selected to battle against those Father Neptune for the sake of us. And I couldn't have said it better myself.
Bridge number one here.
Starboard lookout here, sir.
Oh, yes. What is it, Goldstein?
Well, now, that's just what I was going to ask you, sir. But then I had another think, and I decided I wouldn't ask because I'm none too sure I want to know. On the other hand, I thought I ought to let you know I've seen it, and you can suit yourself about what you do about it.
Goldstein, what are you...
And if you're thinking of getting any closer to whatever it is, I'd be just as pleased if I could have the lend of the seaboard so I can row like fun in the opposite direction. Message in.
Hello. Goldstein!
Starboard lookout here, and until whatever it is I can see out there goes, I'm not looking, and that's flat.
Now, look here, Goldstein.
No, I don't mind looking here, but I'm not looking there.
All right, but what did you see just now?
Well, I don't rightly know, sir. It's a great big object floating in the water about a mile off, and it's got a sort of glassy look about it, sir. It keeps glinting in the sun.
Here, I can see it, sir. Look, over there, sir. Look, it's dark. It seems to be getting bigger all the time.
Mummy, yes. It's such a funny shape. And look.
Where?
On the top. He's there.
Who is?
The little blue man.
There he is. Them that have come from out of space are all going to be wiped out with invisible rays. They'll put us to sleep for hundreds and hundreds of years. We surrender.
Stop it. Mr. Phillips, there's only one thing to do. Fire a warning shot over it, whatever it is, and see what happens.
Aye, sir. Don't do it, sir. You'll have them all ever produced, sir.
Sir, all guns ready, Chief.
All guns ready, sir, but you're tampering with demons. They'll show no mercy.
Over the top, whatever it is. Fire one, Chief.
Mr. Phillips, sir, I don't want to be put to kick for hundreds of years, sir. I'm not pretty enough to be Sleeping Beauty. Why don't we just pull a stern boat and leave it be?
No, fire one, Chief.
Oh, well, good on all. Fire one!
Bridge number one here.
Starboard lookout here. Who threw that? Is it them or us?
We did.
Well, I don't think that was very smart. The little blue man's in a proper paddy now, if you ask me. I don't blame him. He's jumping up and down on the top of his bit of glass, shaking his fist at us.
Any minute now! The rise will hit us, sir!
He'll put them on.
And then that'll be it until 1996. We'll wake up surrounded by little blue men with 18 arms and with 4 heads. And eyes that go on and off like a pin table machine.
Shut up. Fire again, Mr. Phillips, and this time send one through the middle of it. We can't take any more chances.
Aye, aye, sir. Through the middle of it. Fire two, chief.
Fire two, sir.
Lummy, it split completely in half.
That's nice, isn't it? Now there are two of them. Yes. You know what they'll do now? They'll multiply like mad now. Yeah, them two will become four, and then them four, they'll become eight. And then, them eight, that's the arithmetic gone for the bird. And the boat's flat!
What was that?
It's the little blue man, sir. Calling us names in little blue language.
Oh, no, it's not. I'd know that noise anywhere. That's your Uncle Ebenezer's tug hooter.
You're right. Look through these binoculars. It is 19. His tug is under all that glass. He's heading towards us.
Yes, and that wasn't glass. It was ice. It's melting.
Ice? Not his tug. Ice.
Well, sir, now that we've cleared that up, how about full of headphones? I'm in no tension hanging
around. Oh, no. We're going to find out what's been going on.
Yes, I imagine it may have something to do with certain business arrangements the chief has.
Me, sir? Oh, no, sir. My relative is a complete stranger. Well, no. Well, what I mean to say is that I'm... Oh, dear.
Oi! You trigger happy lot of floating layabout! What do you think you're doing? I wanted to be rescued, not blown flat on the ice. You damaged me, tug, I'm going to sue.
Nanky, you old fool, what happened?
It was all your fault, Johnsy. You and your perishing export drive. Not only have your blooming umdrummets been frozen stiff for a week, so have I.
Why?
Because a flaming pig wouldn't stop making ice. Because a certain idiot relative of mine, which is you, didn't bother to put a thermostat to it. So it's been going full blast.
Well, why didn't you switch it off, you frozen nick?
Well, how could I? By the time I realised it, everything was frozen up, including me. You can drive or take me in tow. I've switched the finishing thing off now, and I'm going back to Portsmouth in your engine room, where it's warm.
You can tell him that's all right, Chief. And during the trip back, he's going to explain to us what he was up to with that floating bathtub of his.
If you insist.
I do, Chief. Get him in tow, and let's go back to Pompey.
But, sir, what about the girls? They'll start all that business of wedding bells and roses round the door again.
I don't imagine they will, but I've been thinking about that, and I've got a theory. This marriage idea was so sudden, I think they've been pulling our leg.
What? Ah, yes, but supposing they haven't.
Then I'm sure we'll all be very happy together very shortly.
Bags aren't best men, sir.
Turkey, please, don't joke about things like that.
Keep calm, Mr. Phillips. I'll explain my plan on the way back. Good. At least we're back. Safe and sound.
Well, I think it'll be absolutely wonderful. We're both going to be so proud of our brave husbands. I think they should have medals. Well, who cares about medals? At least they're both safe.
Quite, but whilst we were out there facing unknown dangers, we both realized that it would be madness to wait any longer.
That's right, ladies. I remember in our darkest hour, Mr. Phillips and Mr. Murray, they turned to me as one man, and they said, Pertwee, they said, we've been fools, they say.
That's what you're overdoing.
Pertwee, they say. Pertwee, you know, we've come out of this alive, they say. We must get married as soon as possible, they say. We've been blind. Blind fools. Pertwee, they say.
I beg your pardon?
Well, he shouldn't have told you that, but there it is.
Hello, Chief. Could I have a little word with you, please?
No, not yet, Johnson.
No, please yourself, but you'll regret it.
Oh, Bellpup is a good lad. We're just getting to the spicy bit.
Well, now I suggest we all go up and see the vicar at once.
Oh, now, just a moment. Yes, sir. Now, don't let's rush things. I mean, who is marrying who?
Oh, does it matter? Just so long as one has those slippers by the fire,
a little cottage with drawers round the doses. round all the doors. And roses round the donut.
A place in the country.
Thanks.
And a certain relative of mine does a very nice line in solid gold wedding rings. Well, not solid gold, actually. It's more like real gold. But for the first 6 months, you'll never tell the difference.
Yes, but look here. We didn't actually mean that. I mean, that
well,
is...
Well, it's sort of a joke.
You see, we only wanted to because, I mean, you've been taking it for granted.
Oh, we have, but we're going to do the right thing now, aren't we, sir?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure after what we lads have been through, sir, their lordships will be only too pleased to grant leave for a long honeymoon, sir. I mean, after all, we've,
Tell me, what on earth?
I told you you ought to have had a little word with Fatso. What are you talking about? The horrible pong. That's the grummets going off. That's what that is. They're not called grummets for nothing, you know. Froze they may have been, but now they're unfroze. And them grummets are half beginning to ain't they?
Blimey, I'd forgotten all about him. Cast him off, somebody. You take that tugging toe to windward and sink the perisher. That's it. Who wants 40,000 grummets to take away? No reasonable offer of you. Go on in. Who wants them?
And that was John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, Judy was Judy Cornwell, Kathy Goldstein was Tanya Levin, Abel Stephen Johnson was Ronnie Barker, and Rear Admiral Ironbridge was played by Michael Bates. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnson.